This podcast contains swear words.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the 50th, I know, really, episode of Talking Shit with Tara Cheyenne. So excited to be doing a 50th episode. I don't know, we do about 10 or so episodes a year, it seems, started before the pandemic. I just like to point that out because so many folks started their podcasts during the pandemic. Nothing wrong with that, of course. But we started about a year earlier, so pretty proud to still be here and interviewing such fascinating artists. And today, super special, we got an interview with Justine A. Chambers and Kate Franklin. All right, so as you probably know, or maybe you're a new listener, and if you are, welcome, welcome. Talking Shit with Tara Cheyenne is a podcast about creativity, about not giving up, about finding ways to fuel your creativity and to do it in the healthiest way possible, because we are creative beings after all. I'm your host, Tara Cheyenne Friedenberg, a choreographer, actor, dancer, writer, and educator living on the unceded, stolen ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish nations here on the west coast of Turtle Island. And before we begin, as usual, just a little reminder to please like, review, stars. Oof, love the stars. All those things. Tell a friend. Get them to the podcast. We just reached 5,000 listeners. So that's also a great big milestone, and really appreciate everyone who listens to the show. And if it is in your means and inclination to make a little donation to Talking Shit with Tara Cheyenne, we are a nonprofit, and we pay our podcast guests because they are working artists, and time is of the essence, so we like to do that. So if you'd like to contribute, you can go to www.taracheyenne.com, upper right-hand corner, click that donate button, or we'll put it in the show notes. All right, so a little bit of a different episode with Justine and Kate. And if you're not familiar with these two artists, you can go back. I interview both of them numerous times throughout these past 50 episodes. Extremely accomplished dance artists and my very, very good friends. And this was an experiment in just like, hey, what if we just shoot the shit? I do have some very high level and pointed questions towards the end of the episode. So listen for those and enjoy. Yeah. All right. So you both have been on the show before, but because this is our 50th podcast episode, I know, I feel pretty good.
Amazing.
Thank you. And I just have to say for the listeners that I started this before the pandemic, okay? So everybody who started a podcast during the pandemic, this started like a full year before the pandemic. Any hoozles, we've got listeners in Europe, like Asia. I know. So happy they're here.
Cool.
All right. Here's what my proposal is that I have some questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But at any time, any of us can jump in with questions.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can answer my questions or not.
Yeah.
And we'll just go from there.
Yep.
Does that sound good? Just that. A super free form, no objectives.
My free form.
I know. No, right?
Oh my God.
Off leash, man.
Jesus.
Off leash. What do they really think?
We don't want them.
No.
We'll have no lives left.
No.
I'm pretty sure I'll be eating cat food if people really know what I was thinking. Although, here's a question. This is happening to me because it's middle age and apparently it's all I talk about now. My filters have been just like waning, like the things I want to say. And now I'm like, I'm not even thinking, you should not say that, Tara. I'm thinking, I need to say that. Is anybody else feeling that sort of vibe?
There's definitely certain spaces where I think that I'd always been a certain kind of guarded or aware, wouldn't dare. And now there are certain spaces, not all spaces, but there are definitely certain spaces where I'm like, oh, that just fell out of my face in front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely like, just second guessing myself a little less. So having an instinct and then through with it immediately.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened when you've done those things?
Well, I've done more like kind of like what you did, Kate, but after I don't feel like I have a feeling, mm-hmm. I have a clear gut feeling, mm-hmm. an instinct, whatever, and then I don't follow it. And maybe before I would ride that thing out to the bitter end until I was broken by it. But now it's like, I feel like I have the gut feeling. I don't follow it. And then shortly thereafter, I'm like, actually, no, we're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the one that I've been able to,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah,
it's like, it's not even a backpedal. It's like, I tried and I didn't listen to myself. And now I'm going to just step away from this and mm-hmm. listen to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But usually once I kind of dip my toe in, maybe more than my toe, like maybe up to my knee, I gone in up to my knees. And then yeah. I was like, ooh, no.
And you're like, I knew it. Like,
I knew it.
Yeah, I knew it all along.
I say something to myself.
Yeah. It's amazing that you're catching it, you know, like maybe it's just going to get closer and closer to mm-hmm. having the instinct and then obeying it.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting yourself. Trusting the gut.
Yes. Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of being like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll see. But it's hard in the work we do, I think, because in contemporary dance, I'm just thinking about these gut feelings that I get where I'm like, where somebody asks me to do something and I kind of don't really want to do it, but then maybe I try or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's really hard because sometimes with contemporary dance, we don't actually know what we're saying yes to a lot of the time.
That's a good point.
We don't really know exactly what we're signing up for. So there are certain leaps of faith that you do kind of have to make. And then sometimes those can work out. And then sometimes those actually don't work out. So
yeah.
I'm thinking about that kind of thing.
Is that more like the art making?
The getting involved with things. Getting involved with things. Being brought on.
Brought on to a project.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that was true.
You know? Because somebody's like, do you want to do this? And you're like, sounds like it could be...
sounds like it could be a shit show.
You know?
Or it could be brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, we don't know. So it's like, I think we've been practicing for so long just saying yes.
Yeah.
And like, see what happens.
Yeah.
And having to ignore maybe a few, like, having to push aside a few little voices inside of this to say that this might not work or this might not work or this might be frustrating. This might be a frustrating dynamic or whatever, but we have to see it through anyway sometimes or whatever.
I also think when we were much younger, like, it didn't matter. We knew we were going to hate something. We did it anyway because we had to pay our rent.
Exactly.
Yeah, we needed to
exactly.
eat. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to hate doing this project, but I do need...
Yes.
I you know, like, I don't want...
yes.
I don't want to... Or whatever thing you thought you didn't want to do. And now I'm realizing it would have been better if I had just been a server, stayed a server, like as like my base, and then did projects around that, right?
It's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being in an audition process one time when I was 25. And like, you know, I did several days worth of an audition process, right? And then we got to the end. I was getting close to getting the job. And then the company was like, can you tell us like why you want it? And I was like, don't say so that I can eat. Don't say so that I can eat. Like, that's why.
Totally.
Like, absolutely. Don't, like, I don't know. I was, like, sort of resentful of them trying to make me, like, beg for it or something. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, they were asking for devotion, right? Like, they were asking for
it. Yeah.
And then if we relate this to the rest of the world for a second.
Yeah.
Right? Yes,
like, please. Lots of people work just to put food on their table.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Their rent or their mortgage or, you know.
They don't expect it to fulfill them on every level. And
spiritually fulfill them.
Yeah. And be like, oh, most dreamy thing ever. And like,
yeah. Yeah. Work to live to work. Right. Yeah. We just are in that sort of thing where it's, you know.
I mean, that's a thing too. It's like, it's work. It's work. I find sometimes and it's not only people not in the arts, but also sometimes people in the arts is just like, well, where are you getting the inspiration? Just like go in there and like feel the thing.
Hunger.
Hunger.
Yeah, I'm just, whoa. Gotta afford some ointment.
I need to go to Sephora.
You know how much my hair color costs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all mystical and magical.
No.
I mean, it's like...
No.
There's a lot of, like, just very practical things that... Yeah. And this idea of call, you know, yeah.
The
like,
calling and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I like it. I'm good at it. And I like it, you know, for the magical, mystical moments that there are.
Yeah, totally.
They do.
And for
those
the friendships that come, for sure, they're there. But it's not the majority. So let's, like, not pretend that it's... You know,
yeah, always going to be
all unicorns and rainbows.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. There's very few unicorns and rainbows.
I actually really resent this
I love this.
I love that sentence.
Hey, woo, get going. Really hate it when there's a scene in a movie, for example, the movie Tick, Tick, Boom. It's like Andrew Garfield, and he's playing the guy who wrote Rent.
Oh, okay. Haven't seen it.
It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But however, there is this one scene that I really resent where he has like some hole in the plot or something. He's like, what, I'm just, this one song is missing or something. And he goes swimming in the pool and all of a sudden,
oh God,
he can see the notes underneath the pool and the whole thing comes to him in a flash. And, like, and I hate those scenes because it makes people think that that's how it works.
Yeah, that you just go for a dip.
And then you just get a creative bolt splash that like flies over you and you have your song fully written and stuff.
Or it's a montage.
Yes.
That's the other thing.
Yes.
You know, I have moments in the studio where it's just like, if this only was a montage instead of me looking
grinding it out.
Yeah.
Walking around, being really tired.
Yeah. Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah. I don't know. I really resent that.
Yeah. I mean, I had this moment when we got to last week when we were working and, you know, Maurizio, who I'm working with, we got up and we went and we were in Montreal. I should maybe, it makes it weird. I don't live with Maurizio. Like, we were in an Airbnb.
Yes. Okay, like, whatever you need us to do.
They got the rental drums, brought them to the studio. These girls are evil. Brought them to the studio. Like, then I was like, we should eat lunch. And then I went and got his dumplings. We ate lunch and he set up and I warmed up and he's like, okay. And I was like, let's try something, and started playing and we did something. And the whole time I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I was like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. And then I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, but that's part of that grind, right? Like, it's not magical. Like, we figured, oh, then Vanessa Kwan showed up and then everything was better because I was like, oh. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to cry in the studio in front of Maurizio. But then it wasn't like, now I know. It was like, okay, set the space. Like, do these practical things.
Yeah.
Do these, but we're going to set up the space. We're going to do this. We're going to fill the space. You don't do well in a big open space. Let's clutter this. You know, it's like, then it's just like, then it's just like, it's really practical things that have to happen. Mm-hmm. And sure, there are moments where you're walking around and you're like, this thing now.
But it happens.
But that's
true.
Not all of it. Like,
no.
Research is just like it sounds like. It's like you research.
Yeah.
Things to do.
Yeah, you have to go back
things
in.
Things to do. People to talk to. Reading to be done. Materials to be dealt with. You know,
like Email.
You just have to make some stuff. You know?
You heard it here first.
You have to make some stuff and you're like, I hate this. And you're like, what do I hate about it? Okay, I don't like this thing. Take that up. What could go there?
Yeah.
And then you're like, what is this stuff all adding up to? You know?
Yeah.
Get your friend in. Let them tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then accept it and then have to reject. You know, like, it's like, it's just like practical. It's not all like divine. You know, we're not all Vivaldi thinking that things are entering our brains from God.
Yeah.
Those are mostly like old white guys.
Cis white males.
Cis white males, right? The number of times I've been in a room with a cis white dude and like, well, you know, I did this myself. You know, like I just like really, it was just my like grit. That like, not really, really. So,
no one. There's no barista on the other end of that coffee.
Just floating around,
reached up in the air, grabbing that coffee.
Oof, my laundry's done.
No one replying to your email.
I raised myself.
Oh my God!
With a pack of wolves,
who could speak English and teach it to me?
Absolutely.
It's a
Duolingo with the forest.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No lone wolves.
No, there's
no shortness of working.
There's no lone wolves.
No lone wolves.
I'm reading this book. Everybody's heard this so many times. My kid has heard this so many times. I'm reading this book called Emotional Labor, and it's about
emotional labor.
Have you read it?
Live it, babe.
Right. Okay. There's so many passages where I'm like, I should photograph that and send it to Justine.
The Superwoman cape on all black women? I've read that.
I feel like everybody should read this.
What's the Superwoman cape on all?
Do you want to talk?
No, you go. I mean, I have my interpretation of a lived experience, but I think I don't remember actually what it says.
Mm. It's so good. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes. It's so good. It's talking about how black women, like the superhero thing, so that they don't get any space. I could end the sentence there.
Yep.
To feel the emotional, they're doing the emotional labor, and then they have to be really strong and be the hero for everyone.
Oh.
And do you know what I mean? And I just like,
so no crumbling, no.
No, but also just the imposition. I think what I took is like this imposition that people will put on you because they think you're strong, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, this like this is attached 100% to like the famous Atlantic crossing, right? Like the strength of Black women, right? Mm-hmm. And how we are both horrifying and indestructible, this idea. And if you think about, like, you know, all the medical trials, like how they like did all this weird gynecological procedures on Black women without anesthesia, any you know, like this kind of thing.
So fucking weird.
And I think there's this thing, you know, and I can think about instances where I just think this thing where it's like you can just take it because you're a superhero, because you have super strength. Right? So, and that super strength makes you indestructible and freak. Necessary and undesirable, you know, like I think that that's like these are the things that I was when you said that. And then how easy it is for people to put things on you. Well, I was thinking about the conversation we had yesterday with Nicole. Maybe we need to ask her permission about whether we're saying that how Kate Holden had said to her, when people ask you for things, you don't have to say yes. Was that what she said?
Yeah. People will still like you if you don't do what they want or something.
And I think
like
that's
that
not
you
true
don't say
for
yes.
everybody.
Nope. Uh-huh.
And I think the reason her response was like, they will. And my response is like, they will. Is maybe because that has not proven to be true.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
Like how discardable you become when you say no. Or like, no, I can't do that for you.
Yeah.
And I do think like certain people certainly can. And like, no shade to Kate Holden. I'm sure that works out super well for her. And maybe has worked out super well for her. But I don't know that that would have worked for me.
I
don't
like,
know that I could have said no to a bunch of things and still have what I have and do what I do. And certainly now in this moment of time, probably I cannot do that. I'm just so hardwired, you know, but I think that's my work. That's nobody else's work but mine. But I don't think when I was 20 and 30 and I could have, I don't think I would really have what I've accumulated or what I've worked for or what I've earned or what I deserve had I said no.
Interesting.
I feel like, you know, from like white lady, and I am the only person who can use the word lady, just saying that. Don't like being called lady. It's a terrible word. It is a terrible world, Tim. Oh, Freudian dress. I mean slip. I mean, I think about the things I said no to when I was in my 20s, they fucked me over. I, like, there's, I paid for it.
Like, I think you all would still like me if I say no, but that's because
I'd be very proud of you.
Kate does give me a plouse, a plouse when I say no to things.
Me too. In fact, I brag about my nose to Kate.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive.
But that's because
when
Kate
you can do it.
Knows me and loves me and has seen me done in by my yeses, right?
That's right.
And most people who are asking me, who ask for things, haven't seen me done in by my yeses because I don't let anybody see me done in by my yeses. And that goes back to the thing that we were talking about. How many fucks? Do you show the fucks you give or not? Right.
That's emotional labor.
That's emotional labor.
Like, so like hiding these,
absolutely
the cost of things to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's just so, it's so layered. And both reading about it is like both validating and also enraging. Because it's just like, oh my God, we are, you know, a lot of us more than us, but there's just so much. I mean, if if female identifying non-binary queer people of color, so that all this quote unquote real work can be done. Which I do a whole little comedy bit about in this piece I'm doing for my studio thing, that it's like the background performers. Right? Like these like hard, they're acting their fucking asses off back there the whole time, but they have to mouth the words. You know, I don't know. I feel like that's, like, that's good. That's
very
is that good?
That's
good.
Yeah, they get to say them.
Yeah, they don't get to feel any feelings back there. You just got to do the work.
Yeah.
So the real work can happen up here.
Well, soon those people will be AI, so.
It's true.
If only my emotional labor could be AI, so I could just get a fucking break.
Or you could just like type in something that has to do with making this person feel better about the shitty thing they did to me. And and then, you know, she writes
back.
ChatGPT comes up with a strategy.
ChatGPT comes up with a strategy, tells them where they left their blah, 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 listens to their blah, 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 tells them that it's okay. It's okay.
It's not good.
No, it's fine. You know what? It's no big deal. It's no big deal. I mean, it just, you know, it kind of, you know. There's a little bit of blood, but it's fine.
story. Oof, that turned a bad corner.
I mean, is it a bad corner, though?
Is it, though, or is it a corner that we need to not use the emotional labor to suppress?
Yeah, or just like, it's a corner. It's a corner.
Mm-hmm.
To be middle-aged, I guess.
That's one of my questions. What's the best part about being middle-aged? I mean, we had the, like, giving less bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else? Anything else anybody's finding? I mean, Kate, you're just on the edge. You're just edging up.
It's totally middle-aged.
I'm trying to do some emotional labor.
Is it 40s? Don't do emotional labor. Is it 40s middle-aged? I guess it depends how long you live.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's
the deal. If you live to 120, then you are definitely not middle-aged.
No. That's right. That's right. I mean, I...
Mostly, is 50 middle-aged now?
I guess my brain, like 35, is middle age.
Because
when I was a child, maybe more people were dying in their 70s. I don't know.
Yeah, 60s and 70s was like, what? That's over. So, yeah, that's what I thought, like late 30s. And now I'm like, I'm middle age, I'm 51. How long do I think I'm really going to live? I mean, you know.
I mean, maybe longer than ever.
Hopefully, that's the plan.
I mean, I think that's what's happening.
The best thing about being the age that I'm at is that I'm not as broke as I was when I was in my 20s.
Mm.
Period.
Big deal.
That's it. That's the one.
That's the big
deal. It makes everything else, like, from there, spreads forth all the other good things about being this age.
Because you have a living income.
Wage
income.
Yeah. It's changed my life.
Yeah.
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 That is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big deal.
I mean, I think that definitely, like, financial security, relative financial security, which very soon I'm going to have way more financial security than maybe ever. And I think that the relief of not doing calculations every time you buy something is very, like, and then you also just know, like, you know, you can go do things and it's not like, can I do this?
Mm-hmm.
Should I do this?
Yeah.
What am I, like, sacrificing, or what peril am I putting myself in by doing one thing or another? Like, not doing those sort of constant calculations. I think that is a nice thing, an excellent thing about being middle-aged, not being, completely poverty-stricken.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I mean, I think for me in my middle age, I've been able to, like, step into a certain kind of, like, feels like so hippie to say this, but like a certain kind of power in my dancing life, my art life. Like, I feel like I don't really, I don't, like, doubt like maybe I did.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like much more like, oh, and maybe also I don't feel like the stakes are so high. It's like, now I'm like, okay, you can make some good ones, make some bad ones. And like, that is part of working. So like, I think there's that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, middle age came with motherhood, you know, or like what I think middle age, like I turned 40 in the first 3 months of Max's life. So I think that that's like one of the best, most humbling, most difficult, most glorious things that came with middle age and being a mom. Do you know what Max said to me? Besides, like, telling me I'm cringe every day.
Oh, honey. God, they say wonderful things. Don't they say wonderful things?
Cringe, yeah. But I'm so cringe. I went to his school for, like, in general, people ask me to do things for Black History Month. I kind of don't want to, or Black Futures Month, depending on how they're spinning it for themselves. Because it becomes tiring and I don't know who it's benefiting. But at Max's school, when I asked him about what they're doing for Black History Month, it was like a lot of damage narrative centered. Right? Mm. And I was like, okay, how do we bring something else to that table? Yeah, so I went to go do a presentation. We were talking about like Black art and those as like freedom strategies and, you know, Virgil Abloh and Beyonce and like whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Like, we just, like, we went through art. I taught them the electric slide. It was super, super fun.
Cool.
Oh, I was having super fun. And Max was too. When we left, he was like, Mom, I am so proud of you. And I was just, like, beaming from within. I was like, and he's like, and also very embarrassed.
Oh, so proud, beaming from within, and also very embarrassed.
Yeah, that's what he said, and also very embarrassed. I'm so proud of you, and also very embarrassed.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I embarrassed him. Yeah, that's cute.
Oh, that's so good.
But like, this is the humility. Like, I think also with middle age, I can accept humility without being humiliated.
Oh yeah,
that's it. Like a beautiful thing.
That's a good,
like, you know, you're like, oh, yeah.
That's a nice way to put that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
You're like, oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that. Instead of being like, oh my God.
Yeah. I actually like actually enjoy sometimes being humbled.
I think it's great.
Because I think it's like, I'm thinking about physical things, obviously, dance practice, physical practice. But it's like being humbled like opens up a whole new area of things to investigate.
Learning, yeah.
So I'm like delighted when I'm like, I'm bad at that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so bad at that.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, cool.
I know. Like, it's a puzzle.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Here we go.
Let's dig in.
Yeah. So that's, that's really different.
Yeah.
That's really different.
Instead of not knowing being like a deficit, right? Like,
or,
before it's like embarrassing.
Oh, you don't want to let people see you fail. So you sort of like,
or you pretend you know things when you don't. And then you like,
have
to run home and get out your encyclopedia.
Oh, my God.
Like,
because
there was no, okay, what is that?
There wasn't any internet.
There wasn't any internet.
No, my God. The list of words. I still have a list of words I don't know that people say. I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds really interesting. No idea.
How about you, Sarah?
I think being wrong is like, I really enjoy being not needing to be right.
Yeah.
It feels like so like relaxing and liberating. Like, it's not the end of the world at all.
In fact, you can learn so much.
It's just, like, more opportunity to learn things and, you know, make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that feels great. I also, like, having a child, you know.
Because you were, like, that same age, right? Like,
I was, like, a minute. I was a minute before I turned 39.
Okay, yeah.
So, oh, really? I thought you were younger.
Oh, thanks. I was skinny and stupid. I wasn't that much younger. But yeah, the great thing about having a child. Hang on. What is it again? Wait a minute. It's got to be on the tip of my tongue.
Something.
What is it? Oh, no. I love them deeply. The unconditional love. So that is obviously massive, like that feeling. Wow. And having this feels like a privilege to me that there's so many times you're third on the list. Like,
yes,
the poo you need to take right now ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen.
Oh, Kate knows how I feel about these things.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Killing golden banana only.
Just waiting. Justine has really good poos.
I do. It's the only part of me that's a Buddhist.
My dad. Oh my God.
It's impeccable. It's
okay. Impeccable. I want to talk about how that happened. genetics. Is it genetic? Oh, it's so much genetics.
And water, but we can talk more about that later.
We said we weren't going to talk about poo.
We're not talking about.
It is not talking shit.
Talking about poo.
We're not talking shit.
Also, speaking of shit, one of the great things about middle age is you have no control, or the things you have a control over are like,
yes,
just like it's not that much.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not
not that much. So maybe don't, not that I do this, maybe don't melt down about X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on that.
Oh, it's so hard.
It's so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard.
But it is. I was thinking about this the other day too. It's so interesting. Like when you are given more responsibility, say, like at this age.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how teaching working class used to feel to me when I wasn't really teaching a lot, when I didn't have so much responsibility to be an educator. Like, it was a big deal. I'm talking about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And just the feeling I would have when I would wake up and I'd be like, you know, I would have planned my class like
for the week.
Oh, yeah. Just being like, And then I'd be in the room and I'd watch all the people walk in and be like, oh my God. You know, and I was thinking about how, so when you're given a whole bunch of responsibility, the things that used to feel difficult now feel easy. And then I was thinking about that when we were working out today, and I was like, that's what we do. We lift heavy things so that when we lift a medium thing, it doesn't feel heavy.
Yeah, there's like, so much to learn from lifting weights.
There is. But it's like, this, like, the more you take on, the more what used to feel incredibly difficult feels easy now. And
it's true.
That, to me, is a really cool thing about being this exact age. It's like, I can do a lot. I can do a lot of things.
Yeah, you've expanded your capacity.
Yes.
Yeah, which is like a double-edged sword sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, but not always. Like, it's just like, oh, you've just learned how to do so many things that you don't have to work so hard at doing them.
Yeah, I like, do more things in a day. You know, like, I do, you know, something that, if I had a day that would have felt like a monster day is now kind of a normal day. This kind of thing. Expanded capacity, exactly that. It's like, okay.
I think it's important to do what you're doing is to appreciate it, to stop and go like, oh, wow.
I remember when I used to feel like this would take me out.
Totally.
And now it's just like a tiny little blip moving. Yeah.
But it's a double-edged sword. What are you going to say about
that? Well, I just think increased capacity I just don't always know if our, like, mm-hmm. our actual energy or our actual life force meets our increased capacity.
Yes. Right?
So then there can be, like, a depletion thing. I mean, I've heard the two of you talk, and I'm like, wow, you're so much more zen and, like, less petty than I am as I speak, listen to you.
Smoke and mirrors.
Or, like, you're like, no, I just can accept that being wrong is fine. I'm like, oh, I still struggle with that.
This is window dressing.
Window dressing, okay.
Well, sometimes I can. Sometimes I can.
I feel like when I'm teaching, I can. But other times, I'm like, I definitely have, like, moments of, like, ugh. But yeah, I just think, like, increased capacity. Sometimes that's just efficiency. Like, you can actually do more because you're more efficient and you don't need to, like, crunch through it so hard. And
you have systems.
Doesn't take you so many steps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. And sometimes it's just, like, you know how much you can do and still keep going as a matter of necessity, like whether you want to or not. And right. I think like, I'm looking at my last year and 2 years. So it's like, that is like, yeah, I have very increased capacity now, like energetic. Well, do I really? But we can say that I was able to do like a stupid amount of things. Mm-hmm. But I literally never want to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a super good point, because you come up against that, you lift heavier and you think, well, I can, so I better do it. Yeah. And actually then you maybe lose some sensitivity to like, holy fuck, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's, you're way past, tired was like 3-4 kilometers behind you.
Exactly.
And now you're like dragging yourself along the road.
Yeah, that's not
at
good.
At the same speed as being in the car.
Exactly. Exactly.
Shaving down your new manicure.
Yeah. Oh, don't even joke about that.
I know, it's not even that. But no, I think there's something... Like, just because we have the capacity doesn't mean we should use it all.
That's it, so, right?
Like, that's where I feel like, ooh, like...
Slippery slope, tricky.
And, like, obviously, like, I'm just talking about myself, as we always do, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do a lot. Should I?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for sure. For sure.
Should I?
Yeah, and is it the thing I want to do? Is it what I want to do? Or is it what somebody else wants me to do? That's mm-hmm. something I struggle mm-hmm. with.
Mm-hmm. And that's just so muddy for me half the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
You know, that can be muddy. Like, I'd love to be like, oh, no. I mean, I know people much younger than me who I feel like maybe it's just somebody taught them about boundaries in a way that I just feel like there are people, maybe it's, I don't know, what's a generation now? 10 years, 5 years? I don't even know.
I don't know.
30 seconds?
I don't know.
Which, like, platform you're on? Like,
yeah, exactly. I don't know.
I think you're just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Like, if I do that, I'm going to feel lousy, so I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Really? Can you teach me that?
Mm-hmm. No, it's good. It's very real.
Interesting, eh? Like, this is really coming back to the first thing we were talking about, but, like, I think I went to ballet school in the 90s, and I was taught, for real, in these very words, that you're replaceable.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're replaceable.
Totally.
So if you don't want to do it, we'll find someone who will do it.
Be indispensable.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I got that message, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Loud and clear.
Yes. It's sometimes off-putting and sometimes very inspiring to encounter younger generations who don't feel that way.
Oh, my God. So
it blows my mind.
Yeah.
And it is both of those things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like,
sometimes it's like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't? What? Huh?
I don't feel like I need that right now. I'm like, what? How did you? Who taught you that?
Yeah. But then I'm like,
I know. I want to meet your parents.
But then it's really interesting. It happened recently, and somebody told me, like, I want to do this instead. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a choice that I would have personally made in a dance career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a young person. But the honesty, though.
Isn't that the revolution, though?
The honesty. Honesty. I'm like, now I know where you're at.
Yeah. Now I know where you're
exactly.
at.
You're not trying to hide it from me. You didn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now I know what you, like, I know something about your priorities in this moment. And now we can have a real conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that's cool.
I think so, too.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is the revolution.
Mm-hmm. The honesty thing.
Yeah.
Well, especially I think when we're talking about, you know, them, non-binary, queer individuals who can say, like, this is my enough.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't think my enough was ever my enough. You know? I mean, maybe, and more now, but, like, we work with the hauntings of those, of the being dispensable.
Yeah.
We work with the hauntings of those. Like, I don't feel like that is outside of my experience still. I have to really rail against that. Or even check. I'm like, wait a second. You know? You have to be like, is this what I think? Or is this the haunting of being dispensable?
For so long.
Yeah.
And then, like, the other interesting thing about that interaction that I think is sort of a generational thing that is interesting to me is, and I like this, people who are like 20 years and younger than me, they don't have the same kind of fear of authority.
Oh, yeah. I love this one.
That we had.
Oh,
like just blanket fear of authority. I'm going to speak for all three of us. We had that. We just had this 100%. Like, and it wasn't even respect. It was like, there was like fear.
Oh, yeah, no.
In dance teachers and people older than us. And there are things that they say to me that make it clear to me they don't fear me. And that's like so cool. It's cool.
Do you know that yesterday?
It's changing everything.
Love it. Josh is working with Leaky Heaven, right? Or always works with Leaky Heaven, but they're doing a work with kids. And one of the collaborators on the project, so the kids are in the project, running the project. It's like this wild animal, but not. It's like actually quite impressive. But anyways, at one point, the kids had to be adults. Mm-hmm. And one of the collaborators noticed what when the kids became adults, they got mean.
Oh. Interesting.
And I was like, oh.
Interesting.
That's dark.
It was like, fuck,
but yeah.
Adults make kids do stuff, right?
Right.
Adults adhere to schedules and like, you need to leave for in 5 minutes.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
But just, why are your shoes on? Shoes on? Totally. But don't you think it's a little bit, I mean, that is dark as fuck.
Yeah.
And also, just reflecting on my child, it's like, you are in charge of everything. And so it's like torture.
But it's like, please take it on. Please take it on.
Hey.
You can do all the tasks.
Right. Would you? I would love to just, you know, sit back and
play Minecraft all day.
Jasper will be able to drive in like 5 years.
Jasper is cooking. This week, all of a sudden, Jasper was like, you know what? I'd like to cook.
There you go.
Sunday night, spaghetti carbonara.
Oh.
What?
Monday, sliders.
What?
Last night, fettuccine alfredo.
Oh my God, Tara.
I know.
Oh,
and I mean, I
a
was,
new phase of your life
I was
beginning.
The assistant.
Yeah.
Okay. But they Sucha. Were doing it. They were doing it. I'm like, super excited.
That's so
super
wow.
excited.
That's
so I hate cooking.
Yeah.
And I'm not very good at it.
Oh, that's not true.
It kind of is.
Is it?
I have moments, but they're like, but it's just, I have no time. Yeah. Like a get
and it's just like,
and
not fun.
Yeah. And then my wonderful people who I love dearly are like, what's in this? Which is not what you want to hear.
No. No, going back to the like, you don't get automatic respect for being older.
Yeah.
Right? That is the revolution also, because then we don't just like take shit from people being shitty to us. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of nice, is that they're like, well, prove it to me. And I do, I see that even in my cohort, in my MFA, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm definitely the oldest. There's a couple close-ish in age in me, but everybody else is younger and they're just like, they won't sort of like acquiesce to bullshit. And I find it very like, they'll write back terse emails.
I know. I am inspired. My cohort is like that too.
Whereas I'll just call up YouTube and be like, fucking asshole.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, I you know, like I
off gas with my friends as opposed to being like, actually, no. Or I spend a lot of time finding like the most diplomatic way to.
Me too.
Right. And not to say they're not diplomatic, but they're really direct in like they don't sit on things for extended periods of time before they find the right way to allow that person to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're like, this is how I'm coming to you with my truth and reality in this moment.
And you,
that's impressive.
And you earn their respect, like you have to earn it, which is actually good.
Yes, it is good.
Oh, absolutely. It shouldn't be a given.
No. Yeah.
But here's a thing that I think is real, is that there is the aging. I mean, I get this like, am I just an old husk and I should go, thank you, bye-bye. I'll just go sleep in the corner sitting up. remote in your hands. It's fine. I'm fine. I mean, sometimes I think, oh, it's just me being neurotic and old. But there is a thing. It is there, especially.
What? What's there?
Like, are you still here? Are you still performing? Are you not? You're going to grad school now?
Oh, like people like microaggressing you to feel irrelevant?
Yeah.
Losing relevance?
Losing relevance. I guess that's, I mean, to be perfectly frank, I do have like a fear. A fear
of losing
like,
relevance.
Yeah. And then circling back to the cat food.
Mm. Right.
But I'm looking at this thing, like, I'm thinking about Lammy right now.
Yes.
Lammy is Kate's grandmother.
Yes. Oh,
and how Lammy broke some bone.
Yeah, just
dislocated
a fall.
A knee.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And how Lammy Didn't say anything for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. She just walked home.
Just walked home.
Put the mice on it.
She put the mice on it.
Yeah.
And then the next day called your mom
mm-hmm.
and then went to the hospital to find out things were broken and dislocated and then mm-hmm. insist upon that her accoutrement that helps her be broken matched her favorite, like everything was blue matching her favorite color.
She had a blue walker and a blue cast.
Perfect.
And she was wearing like this like outfit that had like a little blue shirt picking out the underside. Anyway, Lammy is
she's amazing.
Divine.
Yeah.
And then as we were writing, it's like, well, of course she could do that mm-hmm. because of what she endured in her life, like how much she was suppressed, erased, undone, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that the sort of like the grit that she needed, which is way more grit than we needed.
But
I think having folks like you're not irrelevant if you lived.
No,
I don't feel like I may need to be reminded of certain ways of thinking, and I may need to have my ass handed to me by people, including my 8-year-old son, including mm-hmm. my cohort, including my friends who are younger than me, but also including my friends who are older than me. But I think there is like, if I'm not changing, fine, I can feel irrelevant, but I feel like I'm in a community of folks that like ask me to be better.
Right.
And I try to meet that. And then if I can't, I'll be like, yeah, I don't like the way you're being better. I want to be better a different way over here. And that's like, I think it's like, we need markers. And like, my life is easier because Lammy sucked in some ways that mm-hmm. mine wouldn't have, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think like
mm-hmm.
these things are, I think like we have to hold past, but we don't have to hold past ways of being. Like,
right. Yeah.
So we need ties to what was before.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe I just don't feel yet. Like, I definitely have done and said things where I'm like, oh, whoa, I'm not as cool as I thought I was.
Daily.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that, like, there's also things I hold that younger people can't hold yet because they just haven't got there yet. And when they get there, they need me and you and Kate to be like, oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
That thing is wild when that shows up, right? Like someone needs to tell you that when you're pregnant, you can get hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
Like someone's got to tell you that.
Oh, they do. That's necessary.
Someone's got to tell you that. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. like, I think someone's got to be there when you're going through something. You know, I feel like I've had those people too. Mm-hmm. It's like I literally called my, I don't want to talk about hemorrhoids. That's like, so why am I about to say something?
Well, we've already talked about poop.
Oh, we have.
So,
but it was my poop and not even my hemorrhoids. Oh, Lord. But I think like there's this thing where it's, I don't know, like I feel like we want to sort of always be holding past in the future, like in the present, imagining ourselves, imagining the future we want, we need. Like, I think we have to like time travel all the time. Everyone over 40 gets disappeared because they're not cool anymore. They're not relevant. Like, how horrible.
We're going to be missing a lot of
I mean, I even think about like going through perimenopause because I talk about emotional labor. I talk about perimenopause. Nothing else.
Well, apparently I talk about my shit and hemorrhoids. So,
have a niche.
We have a niche. Oh, Lord, love me.
Yeah, I think about like my mom and that generation mm-hmm. of like the things they didn't share mm-hmm. or the things that are, you know,
were unshareable.
Yeah, the taboo things. And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, fuck, I would really could have used that information. Like that you're going to get hemorrhoids when you're pregnant information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you gain like half your body weight like I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was impressive.
That was something.
Wow. Liars are like, you're not huge. You're beautiful. You liars.
Well, I mean, I may have been beautiful, but I was huge.
You can be huge and beautiful at the same time.
Huge and beautiful.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant and people go, are you having twins? And I would be so incensed. I would be so, and then I looked at pictures of myself. I was like, well, you look like a giant mailbox. Of course. Of course, because Jasper didn't flip, so they were breached. So it did look like I was having a couple.
Screening on the side of my belly.
That would have been good.
It would have been a good piece. That's what I should have done.
That would have been really.
Images of me being unhealthily thin dancing on the side of my back. Anyway,
you know what I think about this aging irrelevance question? I think, like, some part of it is, like, we have to stay willing to change. Like, we have mm-hmm. to really be able to listen and find out what's going on and be led by younger people and, like, fight, I guess, every inch of ourselves that is, like, it's got to be, like, it's got to be this way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, yeah, this kind of, like, hanging on to things. Like, okay, here's something I said today. I was talking about, because Andrew Harwood is in town teaching at Edom mm-hmm. right now, and I was mm-hmm. telling somebody that there used to be an EDM summer intensive all the time. And it was like Peter, Andrew Harwood, and Mark Bovan would teach that for a while, right? Yeah, like that happened for a lot of years.
It did, yeah.
Mark is a friend of mine, and I remember we met up and we were talking about our lives or something. He's like, oh yeah, that's not going to happen this summer. And I was like, what? I guess it had happened for a while.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, why? What happened?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
The drama.
Yeah. Because I always want to know, you know?
Yeah.
And he just looked at me and he's like, Kate, things have to end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Like, he was like, why?
Like,
who cares? What are you talking about? And he's like, I don't even want to talk about this. Like, he's just like, things haven't had their ending.
Yeah.
And I was, so many of the things that he says, like, stay with me. And that's one of them is just like, it was the first person, I think, of like an older generation that had ever expressed the sentiment of being willing to just let something go.
Mm. It is.
It's time happened in the past. And now we're on to something else. And I was like, that is so cool.
Because
I want to be like that.
We can mark time then, right? We can mark time then if something ends. But if it doesn't end, if it just drags in, if we can see it. I mean, there's not always dragging. Some things flourish into the future.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But they have to change.
It's like too many seasons of a show.
They have to evolve. Yes, they got to end
like,
it.
It's like that was enough Ted Lasso. That was perfect.
Yes. In fact, that's I would say.
It could have ended earlier.
Yeah, I think so.
You don't need to watch.
Okay, I'm not
going to. Okay. But I think that kind of attitude is like.
That's good. I agree.
It's essential. Yeah. You have to let the waves happen.
Yeah. And some things are about a time, right? They are about a time. Yeah. Like this thing happened in this time and then it's not happening anymore. And like, that's not.
That's a different time now.
Yeah, it's a different time.
So you open your eyes and you go, what is this time about? What's interesting about this time?
Yeah.
How can I be involved in this time now?
I mean, it's that. The circle of life.
But it's also like, when are you going to be the underbelly? When are you going to be like, it's also like, when are you, where are you going to place yourself inside of that thing? And I think there's this sort of idea that as you get older and more experienced, you should just be rising to the top. But sometimes that's not the place you need to be inside of a certain movement of activity. Or, you know, maybe you do need to be hanging out like down with the lobsters and the crab, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't need to be the thing up on top. And I think that sort of upward, forward, vertical trajectory is just like, it's just not how things roll. In fact,
I think it's capitalism.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that just like that growth, which it actually doesn't.
Matt Hearn has this nice, I was some talk that he was at. It was in this building, but before I was working in this building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just saying like, what if we don't grow all the time? You know,
things
don't grow all the time. And I think it's like, what if they just stay the scale where you can actually flourish and feel good or whatever? Mm-hmm. And like, I think that's why I refused being a company. Because that was like, how many things am I going to have to manage then if I sort of do that sort of thing? I mean, you know, you're much stronger than I am.
I'm not.
But there are benefits, right? Like, you're not getting taxed on your grant money. Like, there's a million benefits to these things. But like, this idea of expansion, it can make something untenable.
Well, totally. And even in the, I mean, I'm very grateful for the company I have. But because we are not, we're like,
we're super,
and I'm not really interested in this, like more growth, what's the next thing? Mm-hmm. But the funding body, like that's the expectation that you have to grow in the way that they think you should grow.
Thinking about Kay Holden again, like she and I had a collective together and we had like several successful rounds of funding. And then we got really tripped up over the last show that we did. I think we applied to Canada Council 3 times and were unsuccessful each time, but we decided to just do it anyway. But that's so interesting. The feedback that we got was, what is the future of this company? What's the 5-year plan of this company? We don't understand what they're trying to do. What's the future of this? What is the growth of this? And we were never, we never wanted to do that. We were always like, we'll stop unless we have something we really want to do together. But we always knew we were going to fold whenever we wanted.
But I think this is also like when the nature of the dance community changed from being a company model. Yeah. And then I think I was the last generation of like companies being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you know, and then I came out of that. But you and Kate definitely were like at the, especially talking about Toronto in that time, like at the end of the company, sort of being the epitome of how you do a career. You were really independent being the way to function as a dancer. And so you are casting your net super wide because you're teaching there, you're in this project, that pays you a flat honorarium of $500. In this project that does nothing, you're doing this commercial gig. Like that was the reality. And I think that the council's just like never adjusted to that reality of dancers, which was like, we literally have 42 side hustles.
Everything's
and then there's the things we want to do, which is our primary, but is actually a fraction of our time. So when you're not considering the actual like ecology of the fucking community, then of course you're going to be like, well, what's your, when are you going to become a company? And it's like, well, is there any money for me to be a company? Time is, do I have the interest?
We didn't want to.
I mean, I was in a company where I saw the board of director fire the director of the company. His name was the company. Like the name of the company was their name, and then they didn't own their work or their things. And I thought that's what scared the hell out of me. Company. I was like, well, how does that make sense? You know, and that was that beginning of that transition, right? So that was like the council not actually understanding how dancers were functioning.
For sure, because it was really new too. That was like, I'm talking about like 2002.
Three?
No. Probably, we got tripped up around 2007.
Okay.
And the reality is, especially for small companies, they're still doing a whole bunch of side hustle.
Of course. Everybody is. Like, bigger companies, people are doing side
hustle. It has to happen.
I mean, we are like, we rule the side hustle.
Oh, yeah.
And like, whatever that is. And that's going back to like,
I'm really old.
But I think that is kind of the nature of what we do, is that it's kind of like it's like dandelion. It's like you have this little dandelion that is like, I am a dance artist, and then you walk into a room or you a gust of wind and it spreads in 18,000 and this is how we function, like in this really like you're over here, you're over there, and like I think that that maybe that's never been like properly acknowledged inside of
a lot of different things.
And a lot of different things because there is like, you certainly, you go into some rooms and like, that should be your priority. And I'm like, but how would it be my priority? I have a million priorities, right?
I remember begging the DTRC to let me do my yoga teacher training sooner. Like they had sort of a minimum amount of years that you had to like be an independent dancer before you could access that kind of thing. And it felt too long to me. I remember trying to explain that I'm really serious about this. Like, I'm really serious about this as a career. I'll prove, like, I mean, you're going to see it. I will prove it. I'll still be in here in 20 years. I need support for a side hustle right now. Right now. I'm dying. I'm dying babysitting children, walking dogs. Like, please, please, please. Like, it was maybe 5 years, but it felt like an eternity. I'm like, I need your help now. I can't, like, whatever you're imagining of, like, putting in your time as a dance artist and then getting a side hustle is not real.
But also imagine, like, what time you've already put in to train.
Exactly.
To, you know, like, just sort of that. I mean, you know, when people do, right, you know, I've been dancing since I was 3 years old. It's like, you've been taking dance classes since you were 3 years old. I don't know if you've been dancing, but there is a certain moment. I mean, we're all always dancing. We're all always dancing. But I think there's this moment where you know you've made that. Like, I remember when I decided, like, I remember that feeling in my body where I'm like, I'm going to be a professional dancer. You know, like, and I think that's the moment when you make that commitment. So like, what would it mean if those years meant something? And what would it mean? Because it's true. Like, there's not a thousand, there's not enough dance jobs for the amount of dancers that are out there.
No. And what are they thinking of as a dance job?
A company.
Because I got 14. I have 14 of them.
It's
so hard. I'm not doing 9 to 5 anywhere.
And I don't think maybe that's so much the case now. But I think for sure in the late 90s, early 2000s, it certainly was. Like, you get into a company or you failed.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. That was the only route. That was the only route.
Like, you suck. Obviously, you suck because you didn't get into a company.
That was the feeling.
Absolutely.
And then it was like, I don't know. And then there was like this interesting thing that happened in Toronto where the more interesting work started happening outside in the non-company. I was like, oh, wait a second.
That's precisely why I left a company. Because I was like, what are they doing over there? You know, and you're like, you're not fulfilling one vision, you know. All these other things that started to be like, I mean, I was in a company where we were all like 5'3" to 5'6" 90 to 105 pounds with long brown hair and cheekbones.
Wow.
All of us. Women, the men looked, were very diverse, but the women, we were all like that. So talk about dispensable. Like, even if it's not said, it's built in. We had this joke that was not a joke. It was what would happen. But you'd come out, and we wore masks a lot. You'd come off stage and your friends would be like, oh my God, I loved you in that part. And you're like, wasn't me. Oh, but this thing, you were amazing also.
That was not me. Oh, yeah.
Well,
when I was in ballet school, it was 5'4". I can't remember the weight, but I remember hitting 5'4" and thinking, okay, I better stop here so that I can be the right size for the corps de ballet. And then I think probably 3 or 4 years after my mother rescued me from ballet school, they got the tall dancers. But before that, you had to be a cookie cutter. Yeah.
Not that anymore.
No. Well, human beings are not like that.
No.
And human beings dance.
And I think that's what the independent community offered and maybe still offers is like a plurality of everything, And like that is important.
Yeah.
To see yourself in dances.
That's it.
Is very important.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
I was talking to when I was in Montreal, I ran into Paxton Ricketts, which was so delightful because he was one of my favorite weirdo students. And he was talking about a choreographer coming to work on the company that he's with. And he wanted the dancers to be in a certain formation really close together, but they're used to working with dancers who are all the exact same size.
Oh.
And then this company he's in, there's like really, really tall people, really short people, like everything. So they had to like spread the shape out so that somebody didn't get like punched in the face, basically. How disappointing that was for that choreographer.
Right.
Because there's like, I mean, and we're talking about a company where the shapes and sizes are about verticality only, not about horizontal.
Okay.
But still, even that, I was like, oh, that's really funny that that would disappoint somebody.
Yeah.
Not funny. It's like, yes, dancing. Yes, I know how you do that. Oh, I know how you do that. It's weird. Or like these structures of dancing that are like, you know.
Yeah.
Big money, big touring.
Design. It has to look the way I want to instead of
like
working
you
with
don't matter.
Humans.
Like you don't matter as a human. The images are more important than the humans. And this is a depressing conversation.
Oh, we got to talk about TV or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else we got?
Okay. Here's one. How do you feel about the word panties?
Oh, no.
You might.
I don't feel good about panties.
It's a bad word.
I don't use that word.
No.
I never use. I had this. And it's my first question. It's the most important question.
Yeah, the future of dance, the importance of
what is it about the word panties?
But is it misogynist that we don't like it?
I think.
Is it?
No, I don't think it's misogynist. Shit.
Because I heard somebody talk about the fact that we don't like the word moist because it's because of misogyny, kind of.
I like the word moist.
Misogyny has ruined a lot of things. Moist in the right context obviously is good.
If you're talking about my crotch, I don't know. Like, that's, you know.
If you're experiencing perimenopause, as much moist as you can possibly handle is right.
Why don't we like that word? Why don't we like that?
I think what it does to me, and it could be the fault of misogyny, so many things are, but it's like, it's your panties. It's so like... like dismissive and little, and it sounds like they're like lacy and uncomfortable. And you should wear these panties.
So I attached the word not to that old lady you're talking about right there who just showed up in the room. But like men saying it.
Oh, that is so
and that makes me feel unwell inside my body.
It feels like a violation.
Like, I don't hear women saying panties in my head when you say panties. I hear, like, men saying panties in my head when you say panties.
Oh, that's...
And I don't feel good.
That's... I think I was avoiding that feeling. I think I was... Because now I feel like retching. If a man... I was in this rehearsal room with a fantastic playwright who I really like. And he put the word... panties in his play, and
I know what you're talking about,
and I heard that too, and it was a female character. Yes, it's a female saying the word panties.
I hated that.
Oh, and we all, I had to stop the rehearsal. I was like, listen, I really like this play, there's a lot of great things, but you gotta get that out of there. And he was like, well, what are they called? It's their underwear,
just like for everybody.
Just
drawers.
Bitch. Gunch, if you're from Alberta. Anything.
Yeah.
No, okay.
So funny.
Yeah, I'm glad you sort of.
I like it. Makes my spine hurt a little bit. Like, yeah. I feel like I need to do an upper back bend. Like, I'm like, oh, God, don't say that.
It's weird, you guys. It's weird, though.
Yeah, there's probably.
But I like it feels predatory to me that word.
Me too. Yeah, it does. It does. It feels. Yeah. It feels
like it's
wrong.
Attached to like. I don't know, something. Yeah. Dirty underwear and vending machines. Oh, I don't know. Like, just, I don't know. I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I don't feel good.
And it's like the 70s, and there was that like black panties with an angel face, that somehow horrible 70s song. I remember being my dad's giant Ozodiel, hearing that song on the radio. I'm so old. Yeah, there was a song. It was some song on the radio.
It's with angel?
Yes. Like, no, it was like this description, black panties with an angel face. Like
oh, black, she wore black panties.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then there's like whoa, sexy devil. Angel devil, because we all have to be Madonna or
but
whore.
The Madonna whore. Yeah.
Madonna whore.
That's great. That's a great job description. That's so many skills in those regards. Hang on, let me find my resume. Here's my horror page, and here's my virgin page. Thanks. Okay, all right. I need to respect your time, even though I'd like to just keep asking you questions.
We could do a lightning round.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, best dance movie ever, in your opinion.
Oof. I mean, lately I've been thinking a lot about Flashdance, just because of that moment when she's having dinner and she takes off.
Yeah.
I mean, takes off her jacket and she's just wearing the bib and the cuffs.
Like, yeah.
That's just got to be the hot. Just a.
It's very hot. Just,
yeah, I've been, but I don't know if that's the best dance movie of all time. Let me think.
It doesn't necessarily have to be the best dancing in the movie. Recently, as part of graduate school, this is so good, one of my colleagues is using part of Footloose.
Oh, yeah.
The scene in the big warehouse. Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Oh, so good.
Good dance.
Very, very much.
What about the scene? Barn dance in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which is it's Joffrey Ballet dancers.
Oh, that's cool. True.
From the 60s.
That's like, true.
Like,
yeah.
West Side Story?
Always.
I mean. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Also, the, have you guys seen Saltburn?
No.
What's Saltburn?
It's a fairly recent. It's a bit of a, to me, it's like a bit of a talented Mr. Ripley, but with a twist.
Is that a dance twist?
Well, there's a scene at the end. There's a dance scene at the end.
Uh-huh.
It's not a dance movie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's dance scene. Okay. End of the movie. It's fantastic.
Excellent.
Okay, well, I just saw on the airplane, because that's the only place I see adult movies, Kajillionaire, Miranda July's movie. Mm. And there is a wonderful dance scene where the person dances to music on hold, like the
oh yeah,
she's on hold.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good,
because no one ever picks up and she knows. And it's like this very, like this person trying to be. Anyways, I loved that dance scene. It's mostly not dancing, but it is. It's like a lot of movement, and I really like that moment. I had so many deep feelings in my body.
Wow.
I mean, I like just watching Miranda July dance on Instagram also, but that's not a movie.
I was gonna say like dance, but is it dance? But it is dance. There's that scene in Fleabag where she's on the tube.
I don't know.
Have you seen?
I haven't seen her.
It's so good. It's so good. She's on the tube, and there's music, and they're just you. See people screaming, but silent screams to the music. Like it's just choreographed. It's so nice. Good. It's so. I'm also just started watching Rhys Darby. Do you know Rhys Darby?
No.
I'm a big fan. He was in Our Flag Means Death, the Taika Waititi.
Oh,
Gay Pirates.
Yeah. Ryan watched that.
It's very good. Strongly recommend. But Rhys Darby is, it's stand-up comedy, but it is dancing. He's dancing. Like there's this is what I'm hoping, is that somehow these stand-up comics, because there's a few of them doing it, Mike Birbiglia's latest one, it's very choreographic.
The pool, right?
Yeah,
pool.
Old Man in the Pool.
Yeah,
so
good.
That they're moving towards dance,
yeah.
And I'm moving towards stand-up,
yeah.
And we're going to meet, yeah. And we're going to be best buds.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. That's happening. It's happening. It's already happening.
That is happening.
Yeah. That's already happening.
Yeah, that's my dream.
That's cool.
Great. Right.
We thought it was going to be a lightning round. What else you got?
All right, what's your anxiety dream?
There's a one where I go to teach class, but the floor is like mats, and then the mats start to move, and then I can't find the music, and then I can't get the music, and I won't get it, and then the class starts to lose control, or somebody pulls me away, and then I realize I've been gone for like 20 minutes, and I just left that class in the room like that, and I come back and try and get control of it. That's usually when I'm going to go teach somewhere new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have that teaching dream. I also have a math anxiety dream from high school.
I know. Those ones are terrible.
Yeah.
I can't do my hair. I can't try to do up my pointies over and over and over again. It's time to be on stage, or I'm called to the stage to do a performance of something in real life that I have done.
Yeah.
And you don't know it.
And I was like, but we didn't fucking remount it or anything.
Oh, I have that one all the time.
Oh, yeah. I've had that one.
And yeah. It's like, well, what do I remember of this? It feels so real.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, those ones feel very real. I have those ones that I'm doing the show and people, the audience is coming and starting just like laying down and sleeping on the stage.
Oh.
Shit like that. And I'm like trying to do my show and I don't want to be rude, but fuck, you're in my way.
Brutal.
Yep. Yeah, those are terrible.
Not good.
I have another anxiety dream, which has nothing to do with dancing, which is I can only see like from my, it's as if I have shades over my eyes and I can only see like from my hips down. Mm-hmm. So if I want to see people, I have to do like, I have to bend backwards.
That's not weird.
I don't want to do that because I look weird doing that, but I'm aware I can't see anything above, like from my waist down.
That is bizarre.
But yeah.
That's like the progressive lenses gone terribly wrong.
Exactly.
Kind of idea.
I also have teeth cracking ones, but this is no.
Oh,
I mean, of course I do. I am like bionic mouth human. So.
What do you sleep in?
Nothing.
Oh, well, sex.
Okay.
No panties on the wall.
Panties for Frank.
Sleeping. I have a few. It depends on the season. Like all my clothing.
Of course. I need to be fancy.
Like now we're in a transition moment. So right now I'm sleeping in my green satin, like men's pajamas, but they have tigers sitting on them, orange and black.
Wow.
And they wear it with the white tank top under because it's not quite warm enough.
Yeah, I just saw the Vanity Fair spread of that.
Yeah, that's
true. What just popped into my mind.
Yeah,
that's really cute. Hat.
Yeah.
What are you?
What's terrible? Okay, I have two pairs of identical pajamas that I bought from Red Sky. Red Sky. Shop Red Sky.
Shop
I love Red Sky.
Let's go Red Sky.
And they are orange tartan flannel pajamas with like the worst white t-shirt that's not white anymore that should go... But there's this, you know, the
it's like the period underwear of t-shirts.
Yeah, it is. And it really is. And I have these beautiful purple silk pajamas that my mother made me.
Oh.
I should be wearing those. But because they're silk and I'm just a hot, sweaty mess all the time, it just feels like I
can't. Alice, can you make me a pair of those pajamas, please?
They're gorgeous. It's like I can't do that to the pajamas. I feel like
I'm offending
the pajamas.
Wait till you're done with the night sweats. And then you can wear them when you're all dried out.
Perimenopause, it can last 2 to 15 years. Great, I'll schedule that in. All right, penultimate question.
I'm trying to work the word penultimate into my life a bit more. It's easy at the gym.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
The penultimate round of rowing.
But there was a penultimate.
Yes, yeah, it gets really meta.
Yeah, it's pretty great. what are you watching on TV right now?
Holy fuck. I just finished, well, you know my obsession with documentaries about cults.
Yeah.
So I just finished Escaping Twin Flames.
Okay.
Jesus fucking.
Whoa. So sophisticated.
No, it's not. No, it's trashy.
It's
like,
trash.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better.
It's horrifying trash. Okay. I love this shit about cults. So that's me.
You should listen to Scamfluencers.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah. On podcast.
I love all that. I love.
I like listening to them.
People
sometimes.
Being defrauded.
Yeah. I love that. Scamfluencers is good.
Okay.
I just finished a nice thing called One Day, which my friend Matthew told me about, which has like just like 14 episodes. Charming love story. Mm-hmm. Also devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, like, what am I watching right now? I'm watching Project Runway All-Stars reruns because I am...
Working hard.
And I just need to shut. I know it. And I just love it. Like, I just love it. I'm not being going to pretend like, oh, I'm just doing it because I'm off.
Like,
no, I love it. And also because Max started loving Project Runway with me. So I love watching Project Runway with my kid. And then we watch it.
Oh my God, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then, but now he's realized that, like, when I say he has to get off the screen, then he'll come over like 5 minutes later and be like, you want to watch some Project Runway?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think you want to watch Project Runway. I think you just are addicted to, it's just like you're a junkie.
Yeah. Give me the screen.
So I've had to start saying no.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize I missed a whole, the 20th anniversary. Anyway, whatever.
Isn't that exciting when you realize you missed a season?
I realized I missed like 5 seasons.
Oh, and then you can go back and just
But then you go back and you look at it and you're like, this is fucking tacky and it's because it's dated, right? Like,
yeah,
you had this moment.
And that seems to happen sooner now. Like, there's things that, like,
I still like watching everybody in the workroom working and getting their critiques. I just
Yeah.
Isaac, Nina,
Yeah, I might have to go back to that. Wait,
I never watched it. I've never watched it. I've never watched Project Runway.
I'm watching right now.
I get too emotional. I watched it a few seasons and then I just get so upset for people. Mm. I'm not tough enough.
Yes.
I get too, like,
Max knew white investor. He like likes the look of somebody, and then when they get kicked off, like this one woman got kicked off, and he was just like, no.
Jasper's like that with the Great British Bake Off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If he just likes someone. If he just likes someone, you don't want them to go. You
want
them to take it all.
Okay. I had to put that on pause because Ryan left and he made me promise not to watch it without him.
Okay, I won't tell you what happened.
Please don't.
We're like personally, we're on the last episode. We've seen the signature and we're saving the technical for tonight.
And then the showstopper.
The showstopper.
Watch the baking.
It's so great.
I love it so much. It's so, there's actually Baroness von Sketch has a thing about like you go to your therapist and it's like the world is awful and everything's like, I'm going to prescribe to you is watching baking shows.
Yes.
Because there's
the antidote.
It is the antidote. Mm-hmm. Baking show. And we did watch Ted Lasso again because it's like, I find it really funny. Like, it's just, it's okay. It's okay. And they've got
pandemic
like,
television.
They've got like,
it's still good.
Feel good.
It's feel good.
The world's a fucking dumpster fire.
Yes.
Totally. Over here.
Yeah.
Everything's na 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 na.
Yeah. Haul your ass through the pandemic television.
Haul your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And then the Reese Darby, I think it's called like Mystic Bird or something. We got Amazon just to watch that.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. My last question is there something you're doing right now that is in your life, whether it's maybe watching baking shows, that is helping you just like stay okay, mm-hmm. be creative, get through the day, mm-hmm. thrive, whatever?
I started a rough and raw journaling practice.
Oh.
That it's a book that was recommended to me about how to possibly resolve chronic pain through this really super, super, super raw, honest journaling process. So you journal, you try to get kind of like, you try to get at the heart of the matter and say things that you know, maybe don't want to ever say out loud. Because, and you never return to that writing. You rip it up. Yeah, you don't look at it again. Like you do that thing for however long it takes, and you just tear that up and put it in the recycling and it's out. So it can be very, very, it can get very honest. Mm-hmm. And you can name names and you can swear and you can say things that you would never want anybody to hear. And that's the point.
Yeah.
And I found it to be chronic pain, who knows? Jury's still out on that. But if I skip that for a couple of days, I crave it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to try that because like, I want to journal, but
yep.
I just don't get to it. But that's like...
Sometimes it'll just be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll just deal with something that bothered me the day before or something. And I'll just like try to dig into that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think my friends. I think that's it. Like, I think I would perish without them. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I feel like, I have to make sure that I text, that I call, that I... Because if I don't... It's kind of, I think too, like culturally, you know, the romantic relationships, there's so much weight on that, but actually it's like our friendships that it's the coven that keeps us alive.
For sure.
Yeah.
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 I think it's in a Kurt Vonnegut Jr. book where he's like, when two people are fighting, when a couple is fighting with each other, what they're really saying is, you're not enough people for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's from Cat's Cradle.
Right? Is it? I don't know. It's from something. You're depending on them for too much.
For everything.
I actually remember like Ryan not being excited about some Britney Spears song or something. And I was
I love you, Kate.
I was really mad at him for a second. And I was like, wait a sec. I got a bunch more friends that will like
love this with me.
Yeah.
That'll be so exciting.
Like, sorry. Whoa, that's not your job.
That's highly
clearly. Clearly not his job.
Although I just like got the image of Ryan in the gym, you know. Really enjoying a Britney Spears song.
Well, he's come a long way.
Yeah.
He's come a long way.
He graduated beyond his hot boyfriend.
Yes.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Sorry, Ryan. You know that I think more of you than that.
He loves it.
Absolutely. Well, who doesn't want to be a hot boyfriend? I would love
to be a hot boyfriend.
I want to be a hot boyfriend.
100%. And you don't wear panties for that.
Or
pajamas.
Or do you?
Or do you?
Oh.
Okay. All right.
You finished there.
My beautiful friends, that was amazing.
And that's a wrap. So much fun. God, we could just, you know, and we turned off the recording, I'll just tell you this, and we just kept going for another like 45 minutes. It's such a gift, you know, to talk to people that you love. And I think in these crazy times and, you know, the internets and all that jazz, and oh, I'm just going to look at Instagram for an hour, we forget how inspirational and energizing and important it is to just talk to each other. So I don't know, maybe you want to give a friend a call, like phone them on the phone, like it's 1987. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Kate and Justine, for sitting down with me yet again to talk shit. And good shit. Good shit was talked. Please get in touch with us. We are on Instagram. Instagram. Tara Cheyenne TCP is our handle. Facebook, Tara Cheyenne Performance. Email. I do love an email. You know, it seems so kind of folksy. info@TaraCheyenne.com. Talking Shit with Tara Cheyenne is a project of Tara Cheyenne Performance, and it's produced, edited with original music by the Mark Stewart. MarkStewartMusic.com. And before I sign off, I just want to remind everybody to keep making shit up, take care of yourselves, be creative. And the quotation I'm going to leave you with is a quotation that Kate actually sent me on the old Instagram. It's from David Bowie. Oh, David, a blessed memory. Aging is an extraordinary process whereby you become the person you always should have been. Be well.
This podcast is effing good.
Here's one. How do you feel about the word panties?
Oh, no.